Welcome to Golf Origin Stories. My name's Chris McEwen, and I think everyone knows that song, right? Mr. Brightside by The Killers, one of the modern day classics already. And that was the first song, believe it or not, that The Killers actually recorded, and it was their introduction into the world. That was the debut single of the band back in 2003, and it's a little depressing to realize that song is basically close to 18 years old now. That's just crazy. But a song that came together relatively quickly. The guitarist wrote that riff, one of the all-time great modern-day guitar riffs. And then Flowers, the lead singer, Brandon Flowers, he put together the lyrics pretty quickly based on a personal experience, actually. It's kind of a depressing song. I mean, it's a song about having your heart broken, but as so many pop songs are, it's a sad song hidden in a really well-constructed guitar riff and some rhythm. Speaking of which, the drums, the story goes that the drummer put together that quick little rhythm or beat in about 30 seconds. It was pretty quick, and that was the song, and it was done, and they recorded it, and that was the rest is history, I guess. And it's a pretty interesting song from the fact that it's got one verse. That's it. It's a verse, it's a pre-chorus, it's a chorus, back to the verse, and it starts all over again, and that's the song. And maybe that's part of why it's just so good. It's easy, the lyrics are easy to remember, and it's quick and punchy and fast and upbeat, and it's just got a great sound to it. I don't know, but boy, I don't know many people that listen to that song and don't sort of, I mean, it's one of those things where you can scream the song at the top of your lungs and sing along, or you just got to find yourself listening and maybe you're just tapping your foot, but either way, it gets you. It really does. And it's a good one. I love that song. It's also been covered now a gabillion times by almost everybody, including myself. I used to do, because like I mentioned, it's a sad song. And if you were to slow that thing down, say, and just play an acoustic guitar and then sing the lyrics, it takes a whole new meaning and a whole new feel to the song. But I think that's part of one of the great things about that song. But anyways, it's also something that Cubs fans sing every game at every home game out in the bleachers. I don't know when that started. I don't know how it started, but it comes on and at Wrigley, it's a new thing, really playing music. It used to be just pure organ, but now every once in a while they'll throw Mr. Brightside on and the whole bleachers sing along, and it's a lot of fun. Anyways, hope everyone's doing well. Welcome to the show. Real quick, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, rate it, review it. I really appreciate it. You guys have been, you've been stepping it up. I appreciate that. The reviews are coming in and the ratings are coming in, and it just really helps, again, promote the show, and it helps with the whole Apple podcast algorithm and all that kind of stuff. And so I do appreciate that. Let's move on already to my guest, Michael Verska, the third MV3 or 3 as his former teammates call him. I'm going to call him MV3 because that is a super dope nickname. And I'm envious of that nickname. I wish I was a third. Even though KM3 still wouldn't have the same ring to it as MV3. I mean, that is just like, man, what a great nickname. Anyways, so MV3 is the marketing manager for one of my very, very favorite golf companies from way back when I started playing, Asher Golf. And they began as a company that simply made a really awesome golf glove. And they've now kind of evolved into just a across the board apparel company. I mean, they've got their gloves, which is still their bread and butter, I feel like. But then they've also got t-shirts and they've got hats, and you've seen me wear my hats constantly because I love their hats, and they have slides, and they have this new product that we touch on. this golf glove caddy, and it's one of the most simplest yet brilliant ideas I may have ever seen in the world of golf. I mean, when I saw that this thing was dropping, maybe I was like a lot of you. It was a must have, immediate must have. I got to have this thing. And then some things went a bit sideways for the company, but we talk about that. And MV3 is really open about it. And it's a really fun story about the day that the glove caddy dropped. So we talk about that amongst other things. And of course, where and when he fell in love with golf. But we kick things off, considering that I've had his father on the show already, Michael Verska II, who is a big deal in the golf world from an equipment perspective, just kind of asking him what that means to him and if he really understood who his dad was to the golf world. Let's talk to MV3. So, Michael, you're actually not my first sort of father-son duo to be really on the show. But, you know, you are Michael Verska III. And so I'm just wondering, as a kid growing up, did you have some kind of nickname? Were you Junior? Were you the third? Were you Mikey? How did we delineate between Michael Verska II, your dad, and yourself in the house?
Yeah, that's actually a really funny story. All growing up, I played golf, but my dad was also my club baseball coach.
Okay.
And we kind of made it a rule, like, very early on that I wouldn't call him dad on the diamond or anything like that. So he was always coach. And I think in reciprocating that, he used to call me three, because that was not only I'm the third, but it was also my number. So yeah, he called me three all the time. It was really, looking back, it's kind of embarrassing, because we'd be in grocery stores and I'd wander off and he'd yell Michael and I wouldn't respond. And then he'd yell three, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, sorry, Dad. Like, didn't mean to wander off there. But so yeah, I was three. Dad was Mike, and then Michael Verska I was Michael. So
right. Okay. Now, I always wonder this, you know. So I remember I have two daughters and a son, and my father's name is my middle name. And so there was some, I don't know if you want to call it pressure, but, and it wasn't even from my own family, it was from my wife's family at the time, but to name my son, it was a big deal that we were having a son. And they were like, you should name him Christopher. You should name him Christopher. And I was like, hey, you know, I don't want to put that sort of pressure on him, because then he'll feel obligated to name his son Christopher. So is there already a plan for a Michael Verska IV?
I'd be lying to say if I hadn't thought about it, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it'd be way fun just to, you know, call him four or something like that. Obviously, we're going to have to get some approval from the future wife side of the family, but we'll see. I mean, it'd definitely be an honor for me, just because, like, I mean, my dad was such a great example, and I don't know if I connected exactly the name, but, you know, if I named my son that, then hopefully he'd see, you know, it'd be a line of examples. So that'd be really cool.
It would. I mean, four generations of Michael Verskas would be, I mean, that's quite the gift to the world. Really, truly. I mean, you work in the golf industry. Let's talk about your dad a little bit, and kind of, you know, he's a pretty big deal to us in the golf world. Is there like some pressure to live up to sort of his standards almost? Like, how does that play a role in how you kind of approach things?
Yeah. My dad's actually been always really good. I don't think when I was younger, I realized how big of a deal, I guess you could say. Like,
right. Coach or dad.
Yeah. I feel like I was so oblivious when we'd get to go to when he worked at Wilson, we got to go to Ivanhoe Country Club. And I think I definitely took that for granted as a teenager. Right. Like, oh yeah, let's just go to the club, hit some balls, like play around, like whatever, it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
But my dad was really good at always telling me to create your own path. And he never put any pressure on me to go one way or another career wise. I think he's definitely happy that I ended up where I am. But yeah, there's never been, I wouldn't say there's pressure, but there's definitely like a standard that I want to reach. And it just goes back to that whole like leading by example type thing and trying to just, you know, not get on his level, but definitely, you know, carry on the greatness.
Right. That's right. Now, by the way, did three as a nickname carry into, because I'll tell you what my nickname was as I play baseball too. And, you know, baseball players are just like, you know, we all have a nickname, I feel like. And so to this day, I'm in my mid 40s now. If I hang out with a former teammate, I am still Magoo. I've been Magoo like for like 30 years. But so is it still three to a lot of people that, you know, when you go back home or whatever and run into them, are you still three?
Yeah, it's either three or it's kind of weird. Like it's either three, MV3.
MV3 is a good one, man. I'm a bit jealous of
it. Has a good ring to it. So,
oh man, it's such a, put that on a hat. I mean, that's just fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, three MV3 or just Vershka to like the kids that I played like varsity ball with. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of weird. Yeah. Like I have to have such a common first name and then such an uncommon last name that they call you by the uncommon last name. It's really hard to pronounce. But I don't know many people. Maybe my high school girlfriend maybe called me Michael. But other than that, I can't think of anybody that did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny because my non-baseball high school friends and even college friends, they introduced me as McEwen. Like, I don't even know if some people know my first name. Like, they may just assume that it's just McEwen, which is cool with me. That's fine. Whatever.
Hey, if it catches.
Right. So let's talk about your career a little bit. I feel like, so you're the marketing manager for Asher Golf, one of my very favorite companies. And it's very funny because Asher Golf was born like in 2009, I think. So maybe whatever it is, 11, 12 years ago. I started playing golf in 2010. So, I mean, literally Asher Golf is the only glove. I mean, I don't know golf without Asher Golf. Like you guys have always been there. I've always been in love with the gloves. And then when you started making hats, I was like, all right, this is the best because I also love hats. But anyways, you are the marketing manager, right?
Yep. That's my official title.
I swear that like, I don't know, a few months ago, you were an intern there. Weren't you just interning at Asher Golf? How did this happen? Let's talk about this meteoric rise of one MV3 at Asher Golf.
Yeah. How far do you want me to go back? Do you want me to start like my first internship or what?
Yeah. Let's start at the internship. Because I remember you going through, like, you were really, like, you were interning hard. You were doing all the cutout for the graphics and stuff and working your way through Photoshop and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I guess my kind of switch to the golf industry, because so I went to Utah State up in Northern Utah, and I wanted to, I knew actually since I was like probably 12, I saw one of the old Michael Jordan ads. And I was like, Dad, like I want to make commercials, right? I want to do,
really?
Like, oh, like marketing sounds fun. He always talked to me about it and things like that. So that was the original inspiration. So as weird as it sounds, I've wanted to be in marketing since like eighth grade.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that it ended up here. But my junior year of college, I was trying to find an internship. Just, you know, that's what you do in between your junior and senior year, you get an internship that you can kind of, you know, leverage or whatever. And it was down to two. I had my final interview at Under Armour to go work there for the summer. And then kind of out of the blue, got introduced to Chad Coleman at Callaway and applied for the internship there. And it was just like such a toss-up decision. And I ended up going with Callaway just because it felt better. Just kind of sounded like I'd have a little more like room to grow, a little more personal mentorship. Okay. And I'm super glad I did that. And it was really, really funny because I was like thinking of all the pros and cons, and I was like, oh, Under Armour, like maybe I could work with Steph Curry or something like that. Right, and then literally like towards the end of the summer, they're like, oh yeah, we signed Steph Curry. So we need to start coming with a plan. So it was such the best of both worlds. That summer made me fall in love with like golf marketing and things like that.
Okay.
And then graduated And then I was, you know, senior year happened and I graduated in the middle of the pandemic, which was super weird. Cause like I took, it kind of felt like I had a final, like I had a test that day and then the next day school shut down. So it was like,
wow,
it was super weird. So I just huddled in my apartment and, came across the Asher golf listing and interviewed a few times. And they're like, oh yeah, look, we'll start you off on an intern basis kind of thing and let you prove your worth. And yeah, I guess I worked my tail off or did something really good to make it full time. So
not just full time, like you're, you're the guy now, you're doing the marketing.
Yeah. And it's so fun. I can't describe to you how much I love that.
Yeah, it seems like just following you along on social media and on Twitter and stuff that that you really truly do. I mean, A, you love what you do and you work for a really cool company in general. Yeah. I had a question about that because it does seem and we'll talk about the glove caddy in a moment.
that's a hot topic.
Oh my goodness.
Very hot topic.
Yeah. So it seems like since I've kind of been following along this entire time with Asher Golf, you guys have sort of, I don't know if it's a kind of an ethos or just if it's from the people that founded the company that still have this influence on it or how they manage it, but there is something about the company just in general that is welcoming. It's different without being kind of over the top, you know, like, I don't know. It's like a perfect little balance of super cool, stylish stuff, starting with the gloves and moving into, you know, the slides and the hats and the shirts and all that, all the other apparel. How active is that? What, you know, from the company's perspective to kind of, I don't know, continue that sort of feel for the company. Is that something that's natural and that, or is that something that is really worked on?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think everyone that works here just kind of got tired of the same old, same old. Not to say that that's bad, but like, you know, we talk about that, you know, you'll walk into like your local golf retailer and there'll just be a wall of white golf gloves.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like that's cool, but this could be so much better. And the mantra has always been that your golf glove is not just utility. It's like an extension of your style, your personality, like how you are on the golf course type of thing. And I think all of us come from a background and a personality that's like how we have lived life kind of just in every aspect. And it just translates to our work. It's definitely, you know, we talk about brand ethos and taglines. Like, yeah, that's written in the value statement somewhere, but it's not hard to live it every day when you come and work.
Yeah. It just seems, I don't know. Every time, maybe I've kind of grown up with Asher Golf from a golf perspective. But it just seems like every time you guys drop something, I want it.
That's the goal.
Time.
Good.
Yeah, it's totally true. So speaking of which, let's talk about the brilliance. It's such a great idea. I'm so mad that I didn't think about it in the first place and think of it myself. The golf caddy, right? This thing, you couldn't keep it. I mean, did the site actually crash? Because I remember trying to get to it and it was just like, it felt chaotic. Like, what is going on? So first, describe what the golf caddy is for the listeners.
Yeah. So the glove caddy is just like your one stop, like awesome place to put all your gloves. Like, I mean, we have our packaging is designed to keep things a little more fresh, but this is like, instead of having a million packages, you can have one glove caddy that's like super premium leather, super like nice light microfiber inside lining. And I can't keep going any further without a big shout out to like Dormy Workshop, because they definitely had the materials and supply chain to make this happen. So
for sure,
it's definitely a collab. But yeah, and it's just like it came out in three colors. So pick your favorite. My favorite was personally probably the Mustang gray, just because it has a little bit of extra texture to it.
Same here. I'm glad. I haven't got my hands on it yet. I'm still waiting for it to arrive, but that's the color and I can't
wait. It's coming soon.
Can't wait. Great.
It's coming. But yeah, to answer your question, the site did crash. It was like the best and worst nightmare as the marketing manager, because like, you know, you hit live and you're like, okay, like we'll see how it goes. And with every drop, it's like, oh, like little spike.
Yeah.
But, and normally it's kind of funny. Like our office, we have a simulator in a golf, like a chipping area and a putting green. And normally after I press live, I kind of just like de-stress. I go hit a few putts or something like that.
Sure.
And I hit live, walked away, hit a few putts, literally came back a minute later, and it was like just exploded. And like the Instagram comments were exploding. Like people yeah. were just questioning, and like, I had it in my card, it's not there anymore. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like we knew that it was going to be cool. We knew that it was going to be a cool item. Like it has a high price point. I can't think of another glove caddy that's higher price in the market. I can think of a few others, but none of that. And it just overwhelming in a good way. And that's when, so we had a nice little stockpile. And after that happened, we were just like, we called up Dormy and we're like, we got to do a pre-order. We got to do something. Like, people want this and we want to give it to them. So that's how the pre-order is born. The pre-orders should be shipping out here in the next week or two. So,
man. So will it be like, will you do another like pre-order, another release? Is there plans for another sort of version of it? Or do you guys just need to catch your breath for a minute, you know, upgrade some servers? Like
for real. That's one. that's one. Ever since the first one, the goal is to do another pre-order. Okay. So it'll always, I mean, it's sad that COVID-19 is the excuse for supply chain, but as long as the supply chain holds up, we plan to do another. Because I mean, we still get it's so funny that product has been like the biggest like learning and like roller coaster for me, just because I mean that product we had thought of, it's been in the works for over a year,
really,
like from launch. Yeah, it was been in the works for over a year, and then we kept getting samples and we're like, it's just not perfect. And then we did all the gloves for Crew Cup this year. That was at a Hoopy. And we made a prototype and gave one of them a prototype glove caddy, and got the feedback back and how that went and everything. And we got some good feedback. There were some things they liked, some things they didn't like mainly just the insides and like the different business card pockets and those things like that. And then I actually, with that prototype glove caddy, I did this just simple little stop motion GIF for the Tonal collection, the white, gray, dark gray one.
Yep.
And just thinking like, oh, like I just want to show the different shades of the collection. It's fine. And that video has the most views on Reel, has the most comments. Like people just saw it and were like, I don't care about the gloves. I already bought the gloves. I just want to know about the glove cat. Like, what is that? I want everything. So it's just, and then it, that kind of increased sense of urgency to be like, all right, let's just perfect this and let's do it. Like all hands on deck, let's do it. And like, and credit to Dormy too. They came back with, they sent us a sample of that, of the inside. At first I thought it was a cow print, which made sense for them because we do their custom gloves that have cow print. But then if you look closer, it's a topography of a bunch of golf greens.
I know.
And it's just like, we're just like, okay, like that is just the detail we're looking for.
Yeah.
Sign it off. Let's make it. So
it's gotta be kind of tough where, I mean, I think it feels like you guys knew you had something from the early days and you kept trying to perfect it and perfect it, finding that moment where you're like, it's ready, you know, because you could have the greatest idea in the world, but if you don't execute it right and put that time into it, it's going to fall flat, just, you know, 100%. No matter the hype, even more so if, you know, with a lot of the hype. So, it's so fun. Like, yeah, dude, you guys broke the internet, man. There has to be.
It broke my phone, that's for sure. I had to charge like three times that day.
Is there now was that sort of Asher Golf's, like you guys now have this thing that you've all experienced together where you can reminisce like 5 years from now and be like, man, remember that time we re-released the first glove caddy and just, you know, everything went bananas. Like, crazy.
100%. Like, we still talk, like, every launch that we plan up to this point is like, okay, that's the standard. It's not going to happen because that was just unheard of. But like, that's the standard. If we can create that much hype, like I'll break my server all day. I'll keep upgrading it if people are buying. I don't care. Like that is not the issue here.
Right. God, that's just incredible. Yeah. And again, it's, I get it. I think, I mean, it's, again, it's a, the idea of it is so simple and yet, you know, you guys took it and made it this like really, really just great thing. And it was, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's a glove caddy, right? It's this like simple thing.
It's not even what we do best. Like.
But I mean, we were offline. We were all like, did you see, did you see it? Like just, you know, text groups and chains and messages. Like there was, it was quite the thing, man. We were all ready. I mean, we were all prepared to like, you know, there's that whole throw money gif or whatever it is. Like, I feel like that's what, how we were, you know, basically in real life. So well done. Long way.
Thank you. Credit to the whole team, but thank you.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk about your love of golf. Did you play at all like competitively? You said you'd played baseball. Was there something, what did you also do? Golf, you know, in high school or college or anything like that?
No. And I actually, that's one of my like few regrets from high school is I remember I never, like I had a few teammates who were on the golf team and I just didn't have confidence in my swing or not my golf swing, my baseball swing to be like, oh, I don't know. Like it's back-to-back seasons. It's going to mess it up. Like I don't want to jeopardize that. So I would just play as much as I could on whenever we didn't have practice and things like that. But
I can relate to the regret because my younger brother did play he was a baseball player too and he did the same thing. He's a much more natural athlete than I was, but he did play on the golf team and looking back on it now, like he was playing free golf every day with his buddies, you know, outdoors and that alone would have been worth it back then just to kind of hang out and play golf. Yeah, I didn't take advantage of it like I should have. So when did I assume it was your dad that introduced you to the game? When did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know the first time he put a club in my hands, but I don't know if you saw on Twitter today, he posted like a little picture of us, and I think I'm like two or three in that picture. Is that right? I think I have like this like plastic golf glove. He's in like those old school like Oakleys that used to be popular and we're somewhere. So my dad introduced me to the game. For most of my early years, it was very love hate because I was because you know, golf is one of those sports where when you're not good, it's not as fun, but the grind definitely makes it worth it. So yeah, I definitely am glad that I stuck with it because now I don't play baseball anymore, but I mean, in college, like every Saturday that we had weather, I would go down to our local like municipal golf course and play nine with some friends or just hit balls. Like that was just kind of like a good stress relief for me in college. So I'm super glad that I have the game for sure. And just like that getaway that you can have on the course or on the range is just, that's my favorite part. Like just the detox.
Yeah. Even, I thought I appreciated golf and then, you know, when the pandemic hit and they kind of locked us down and they shut everything, all the golf courses down, I realized I didn't quite appreciate having the game for that reason. And then throughout all of last year, I mean, I could go out on a golf course and it was like normal, like nothing else was bothering me or, you know, like I would get to the point where I'd walk off the golf course and then have to remember like, oh yeah, I can't go in the clubhouse. I can't, you know what I mean? It was just like this, it's such a great way to just, I've never really thought of it as escapism, but boy, you're right. It's one of those things where you can just like shut your brain off and just focus on this stupid white ball for 4 hours. Right.
Yeah. And like the less you care about your score, the better you play most of the time. And two, the more you love it. Like, I think it's just like, it's this great competition within yourself that as long as you keep it in check is just, I can't think of a time I felt like that in baseball. Like it was such a team sport and I, you know, you, like the, what's the phrase? If you get a hit every four at bats, you're in the Hall of Fame, right? So like, okay, I struck out three times today. I failed three times, but so definitely it's,
yeah.
It's,
when did that sort of, as I mean, we grew up as competitors, we played baseball, we always wanted to win and win and win. Right. And, when did the idea, because I've recently discovered that thing where if I don't have a scorecard in my hand, you're right, I play better and I enjoy the game more. When did that sort of, I mean, you're pretty young to come to that realization already to be like, you know what? I just want to go out and hang out and play golf.
Yeah. It's been a recent thing, probably in the last year or two. Cause like, I don't know how it was for you, but when you're really, really good at one sport, like baseball, that's not golf, you compare your golf game to that sport all the time.
Right.
You're like, oh, I'm at this level. Why am I not at that level in golf? Right. So it's like, oh, I need to get to that level. I need to compete. I need to be better. And yeah, high school golf was fun, but it could have been a lot more fun if I would have just had that mentality. But
yeah,
it's a new thing. And I think that's one of the biggest things that can help people like the game more. I mean, the pandemic has definitely gotten a ton more people into golf, but I think to keep them there, the more they like love it just for the sheer aspect of it, the better.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny that you talk about, you know, baseball, golf kind of relationship, because I remember just like, yeah, I was a pretty good baseball player. Like I could, and like I've said before in the show, that ball is moving at different speeds and different angles and all these different things. And then I go and I put a ball on a tee and it's a disaster. Like, I can't do it.
It should be T-ball. It should be. It's not.
Yeah. That was the first like real, like, why can't I do, this doesn't make any sense. I'm doing like, you know, it's just sitting there. It's just a ball that's sitting there. But anyways, do you remember, you know, you said you don't remember necessarily when dad coach put a golf club in your hand, but do you have a first memory with your dad, like on a golf course or at a driving range? Was he your first sort of golf instructor, or did he just give it to you and be like, just, you know, get after it?
He definitely is my first golf instructor. Like, whether I took the advice all the time or not, he definitely was there to, make sure that, you know, my path was good and the, just everything was dialed in necessarily.
Yeah.
I thought it was better than that, but I would say my first, like just off the top of my head, one of my first big golf memories, I don't know how old it was, maybe like 10. We lived in Texas. My dad was working at Adams at the time.
Okay.
And we were members at Stonebridge Country Club, I believe is what it was called.
Okay.
And I think it's one or two, one of the first holes, massive fairway, par five, but off to the left side, there's probably like a 20-foot drop into another fairway bunker. Okay. And I remember hitting it there off the tee and just dreading it. And I don't remember how many times it took me out, but I remember I got it out and like in the fairway to like then hit a decent approach shot. And I was just so proud of myself. I was like, I got it out. Like, I got it out. Like, I mean, that's like not even like a, you know, like I recently had a hole in one with my dad there. And that was incredible. But yeah, that was my first one, and it was such a failure, but it felt like, but looking back, it's such a sense of a good memory and like, oh, this game's good even when it's not going great.
Yeah. It's kind of funny when people talk about, golf is full of those little moments, right? So it's like, there's that saying where, you know, you hit a good shot and they're like, that's the one that'll bring you back. Right. And so that's like that shot as a 10-year-old just getting out of a bunker and being like, I did that. I mean, that's what brought you back for the next time or whatever, you know, like you have those little successes along the way. And it's like, you're so desperate for those in the game of golf that that's what happens.
Yeah. I mean, for real, like it's such a funny game. Like, and it's funny because it's funny because like I have a great uncle who is like kind of the guy who introduced my dad to the game. And we're still like a solid threesome. Like he just lives up the road. And then whenever my dad's in town, we get together. And then, I mean, looking back, like we've played rounds over the last 10, 15 years together. And it's pretty much the same dynamic of like,
yeah,
he's going to play this way. He's going to play that way. And we're going to have fun. And it's just such a good, like, it's when it's the cliche, like golf is a community, like no matter how big or small it is, like it's just such a bonding experience.
It's really true. And part of that too, that's funny you bring it up, is the cross-generational ability to play something with, you know, with your elders or whomever, your dad, your uncles, your grandfathers. Like I don't know another sport where you could really kind of do that. Like I can't go and play baseball with my dad. He's old. Like you can't do it, right? But like we go on a golf course and we can all kind of just hang out and compete in our own way. And that's really true. That is awesome about that game. You're right.
Yeah. For real.
Speaking of which, have you sort of tried to, I don't know if you're a music on the course guy.
I am a music on the course guy.
Okay. Have you tried to impress or kind of pass along the new aspects of the game to your dad and uncle to say, like, you know, this is kind of, you can do it this way too. Like you don't have to keep score and we can just listen to music and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I've tried. I think sometimes it lands, sometimes not. My dad is a big advocate for playing from the blacks, no matter where we play, which for him, it's like, he is such a competitive guy that I think it's solely for him and he doesn't care if we don't play the blacks, but it's whatever he's going to.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I remember the first time I wore AirPods on the golf course, he was just like, take him out. Like, what are you? I was like, I can hear you. I promise. I just need a little something. Like, you know, to keep me in between, you know?
Right. Right.
So one of these days I want to get him one of those golf speakers that like magnetizes to the golf cart. Yeah. I just want to see what he's going to do with it. I think that'd be fun.
See, and it worked like the way that I convinced my dad to listen to music was I just kept playing the stuff that he loved. Like
that's a good tip.
At first you'd be like, turn it off, right? I don't want it. But then like, you know, over the years, it's not going to be overnight, Michael, just so you know it's going to be, you got to wear him down. But eventually, like, you know, you put something on and he doesn't even notice before you know it, like he's kind of humming along to the song and song. Like, got you. Yeah. And then you start mixing in your own music and then, you know, basically you've got it. You got him turned. That's right.
Yeah.
What do you listen to on the course? Do you have a specific sort of playlist or band or group or what?
Gosh, I think it depends on the day. I think it depends also on how I'm playing. Like if I'm in a groove, I'll like play something a little more upbeat or maybe some like rap hip hop side type things, just like memories of the bus rides of baseball, like getting really dialed in and focused. Most days though, it's like some low key alternative.
Yeah.
Just kind of like stuff you don't necessarily, you maybe want to sing along, don't know all the words. Cause the second you start singing along, the second your golf game is just going to take, then you're focused on singing, not swinging. But it's just something just good vibes, that just keep it positive, keep it light.
Yeah. I'm always curious about that because, everyone has, like, I like music just because I like music and I'll let anyone play anything, right? I just want to be introduced or, you know, hear something. And, but then there's other people that I've played with that, like, I know one of my buddies, he will only listen to reggae and he doesn't even listen to reggae, but there's something to the rhythm of reggae that works well with his swing. And so he will only allow.
Interesting.
So it's like, all right, man, whatever. So I'm always curious to hear, like, because, well, again, to his point, the rhythm of a song could certainly affect your swing rhythm, right? I mean, if you're listening to something that's pretty aggressive, you might be swinging a little too quick. You know,
that's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, on the range, I've definitely noticed that. Like, if I put a random mix on, like all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, that was a little pushy. That was a little shovey. Like, what's going on here?
Right.
And then it'll, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't know. See, I didn't think about that.
Now you've got another excuse to when you hit a bad shot. Like, oh, that was a 5/6 beat or a 4/3 beat. I can't hit a golf club. I can't hit a golf ball when it's on a downbeat. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm gonna use that.
All right. So before you leave, what you already kind of, you know, we talked about how you broke the internet. Do you guys, what's planned for the rest of the year? I know you always have these great releases timed around certain events within the golf world and things like that. Is there anything that I need to, you know, prepare myself for and set an alarm clock again, like I did with the glove caddy? What do we have going on this year?
Gosh, I can't give away too many details, but I can tell you it will be a year, an Asher year unlike any other. Not to steal from the Masters, but like this year will be definitely a good one with a lot of surprises, I would think.
Okay.
What I can tell you is we will have the first seasonal collection, the spring collection. We always do spring, summer, fall, winter. Yeah. Spring is coming very soon.
Okay, great.
March, early March.
So, oh, all right, cool.
Stay tuned. As we always say, like stay tuned to social media and your email so you can set the alarm clock. And there'll be maybe some fan favorites come back. Maybe they get a twist. Ooh. Who knows?
All right. Like, you guys are already kind of going, you know, you're really established as a company when you start going retro with your own. You're like Nike with the Jordans and stuff. You're going to go back to some classics because we all have our favorite gloves from back then. Although I have to say too, like to Asher Golf's credit, it doesn't like you guys had good products 8 years ago or whatever. Right. And you were doing very well, but I feel like your company continued to push yourself to like, you know, expand the catalog, so to speak, improve the product that you were built off of, which is the golf glove. You know, and then just continue to, again, full circle, to make things that I think are just really cool, you know, on course, off course, whatever it may be, that it's just been an impressive run by you guys.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. It's been a lot of hard work, but yeah, it's just like we already talked about, like Asher is just always in the details. We obsess over them. Yeah. It can be a fault, but I think the hotter the metal, the better it looks in the afterwards. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's always in the details.
Well, man, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. This was fun.
Thanks for having
tell
me.
Tell your dad that McEwen, Magoo, whatever you want to call me, says hello.
I'm gonna ask him what he called you.
He wasn't my coach, so he probably didn't even know. He's like, I just call him Chris. I don't know. Or like the guy in Chicago that bugs me for stuff every once in a while or whatever. But yeah, thanks for doing this, man. And you know, I know, do you still you guys still have family near me, like in Indiana? Do you ever come back to the Midwest?
Yeah, my mom's side of the family is still in the Chesterton Valparaiso, Indiana, Northwest Indiana.
All right, great
town. So yeah, we always have a reason to go back.
Yeah, good. We should have a meal or play some golf or something when you come back. And
I will absolutely
I've heard and seen pictures of Utah golf courses and I've yet to play one. So if I get out there, I will at least ask for your advice, if not tell you to bring your speaker and come play some golf with us.
Oh, we'll get out. We'll get you some mountains. That's the main difference from Chicago.
Yeah. Right. We build our mountains with steel and concrete and things like that. Right. Yeah. You guys have the real thing. Okay. I'll let you go. Oh, you know what? I actually have one more question. Are you just like, you know, do you have a closet of Asher gloves? Like, are you like a pro from like, you don't play an Asher glove twice? Like you just wear the one, you're like, all right, that's it. I'll move on to the next one. You just kind of constantly circulate them.
That's a good, I don't have a claw. I have a drawer, at the office of like the gloves that I really, really want, with how our model works of selling out and things like that. It's not that there's not a glove I don't love. I find so much joy in like selling things out. And if I take one for myself, it doesn't feel like I sold everyone. So like this, like the Serengeti and the Cognac and the Masters Collection, like all those I have. And, you know, like the winter collection, I have all of those just because those we're really proud of those and I really like those. So yes, there's a drawer. There's some sample gloves mixed in there.
Ooh, that's fun.
So yeah.
So I like that you don't keep them because then you're like, I didn't technically sell out of this because I have one. That's
just always competing.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, man. Thank you again. I appreciate this.
Thanks, Chris.
So that is Michael Verska III, or MV3, as I will call him from now on, or three, if you're a former baseball teammate of his, or you grew up with him, maybe. And, you know, just awesome human being. And what I didn't know at the time of our interview was on that day that we got together, it was MV3's birthday. He turned the ripe old age of 25 years old. Dude's a marketing manager for a company at 25 years old. But it seems that MV3 has not only taken on his father's name, but also his work ethic. So MV3, happy birthday, man. And thank you for spending about an hour and a half with a goof like me on your birthday. I really do appreciate that. And had I known, I would have wished you one on that day. But I'm sorry. You didn't tell me. But anyways, he's also a bit of a sneakerhead. And I wish I would have known that, too, because we could have gone down a rabbit hole of shoe talk, which would have been really exciting for you, I'm sure, as a listener. But anyways, if you want to follow MV3 on Twitter, his account is at Verska III1, and you can go and follow him there. And certainly follow Asher Golf on Twitter and subscribe to their newsletter, because as a unapologetic Asher Golf fanboy, I am very excited to see what they have coming in 2021. If just the tip of the iceberg is the glove caddy, then oh boy, are they going to take a lot of my money this year, which is perfectly fine with me. So and just a quick review, as I have you here around the Asher golf glove. So as I mentioned in the show, you know, I've been basically, the company was born right around the time my love of golf was born. And so I've been using them ever since. And I have this tradition every year, and I'm sure many of you do it with golf balls and gloves and the whole thing. When we start getting our golf bag in order for the season, you know, right around this time of the year, maybe a little later, you know, sometime around maybe daylight savings time or something, when spring is about to pop, I will go to ashergolf.com and I will buy my season's worth of golf gloves and use those. But what happens is the previous season's pack of gloves that I've purchased get carried over into my range sessions during the season. That's how long these gloves last. I have tried many a glove. I will admit I've wandered from time to time to see if there's something else out there that I might like to kind of mix it up a little bit. And bottom line, there isn't. There isn't anything out there that can compete with an Asher golf glove. It's easy for me to say, but it's, that is a fact, that is true. And I implore you, if you haven't, go and get yourself one. It's worth every penny. So, anyways, that's the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you again, MV3, for joining me on your birthday. It just seems, I'm so embarrassed that I didn't know. But, you know, the guy, I guess he just doesn't stop working, which I appreciate that. And it shows up in the company's marketing strategy and the products they release. But anyways, I have, speaking of sort of apparel and things, I've got a merch store. And so I want to pump that real quick. I've joined forces with a couple other friends, Adam Fonseca of Golf Unfiltered, Bill Bush, who's my co-host of That Range Life on the YouTube. And we've stood up this website called secondcitygolf.com. You can go there and you can buy all kinds of things that have our logos on there. I've put a couple t-shirts And I like the design that I came up with. It's kind of fun. The little record player with the name of the show on there to kind of combine my two joys of music and golf. So if you're interested in that, head over there. I'll put a link in the show notes as well directly to a couple of the things that I've got going on. But you should go check it out. There's some fun stuff there. Bill and Adam have gone completely crazy with it. They love it. And you can buy whatever you want from hats and sweatshirts and hoodies and pants, like joggers. They've just mugs. They've gone all out with their stores. They're very excited about it. I haven't gone that crazy just yet. I've just got a few designs, but you can go and check that stuff out. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Chris McEwen, on Instagram at Chris McEwen, on YouTube at Chris McEwen. And yeah. And if you haven't already listened to the other podcast that I'm involved with, the one that I help produce, Talking Golf Getaways, you should go and check that out. I'll also put that in the show notes. A really great conversation with Keith Reb, who is a golf course architect who is in St. Lucia right now. But they have a really fun conversation with him just about course design and those sorts of things. So go and check that out as well. And otherwise, that's it. Thank you again. Subscribe and rate and review, all those good things. I will go and get out of the way and you can go on with your day and all that kind of stuff. And we will end the show with a little bit more of this super poppy, anthemic song by The Killers, Mr. Brightside. Talk to everyone next week.